of Luke, the 12th chapter. I think this is a good passage to follow up with Matthew 25 from our earlier services. Luke, again, is a gospel writer, and he, I believe, like Matthew, borrows from Mark's gospel to add to his testimonies that he has gained through investigative reporting. And that's just a long way to say that it's similar but different. And it gives us insight. I love the fact that you have four gospel writers that have different angst or different edge in writing about Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit anoints it all to bless our lives. Amen? We really don't have four gospels. We have one gospel with four perspectives of the same gospel. And that gives us insight, a clearer look into the mind of Christ. Amen? And as you're, before we get too far into it, I want to thank you for the warm way in which you received Kathy and I. Even if it's just for a day, we just thank God for this day and the way that you've received us. Love preaching here earlier this morning, and we love the fellowship, even the hour of power. I thought I was going to get into the hour of power. I thought I was supposed to preach for about, you know, an hour or so or whatever. I thought the preaching was the power, but they had a different take on this thing. So, but I was glad to be here and glad to sing together with the Jiffy group. Amen? Amen. It's good to be humbled every now and then. You know, I thought I'd grown out of the Jiffy groups. But I thank God that I was still able to be used with, amen, tonight. Amen. And just had a great time with Brother and Sister Gibbs. That's the highlight of the trip, is to see the two of them carry on together. Amen. At lunch, and we just thank God for that. Amen. You find Luke chapter 12 yet? Verse 40. I want to start at verse 41, but I'm going to start at verse 40. And I'll just do more reading than I will preaching, but the reading of the scripture is the real sermon. Amen. Verse 40, he says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us, or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two." Ain't nobody say amen or ouch or nothing like that. "And appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. For a few moments, I want to call this sermon from Matthew or from Luke 12, verse 41 and following. Get ready, he's coming. And I know that's simple. I know we expect an amazing title, but really that's the message, is get ready, he's coming. And that's good for us with all of our busyness, with all the things that we are involved with, many things that really are about us and about our stuff, about our agenda. We need a simple reminder to get ready that he's coming. And that with all of our, amen, we're not only busy, but we're distracted with entertainment. Some of us are watching Netflix right now while I'm preaching. On their phones, on their watches, amen. And we're an entertainment heavy people, but we can't get so caught up in the next episode that we forget that he's coming, and we got to get ready. And what this is, what led me to this passage when I first started preaching here, is that it's actually a stewardship passage because it challenges the believer about their attitude about stuff, their stuff. And as stewards of God's property, we have to remember that we don't own anything. Y'all gonna make this Sunday night real hard, real long. And I know you're already depressed over Dallas, so you might as well have a good word tonight. But this is a good word, that the things that we got our names on, the things that are registered under our accounts, our numbers, our tax numbers, look, that's only the world's way of looking at it. In reality, we don't own anything. Amen. Job said it best. I came in here naked, and I'm going to leave naked. At our best, we're just in a state between two nakednesses. All right, y'all here with me yet? Amen. And don't get sick. You should learn this lesson now in church while you're healthy, rather than to get sick and find out that you really don't own anything. But everything belongs to God. And what Christ does, I'm going to show you that what Christ is doing is he is talking to some very greedy, some very selfish, some very grabbing or grasping people to remind them that life is not about getting stuff, but life is about pleasing God. And the sign that you are pleasing God is that you are ready for his return. Are y'all here with me? So he, back up to verse 35. Amen. I'm not going to read it all, but this is where you get the gist of what he's saying. Verse 35 in chapter 12, Luke 12. Amen. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So he is leaning on the basic principle that the Lord is going to come again and that the servants need to be watching for his return. They can't get so caught up in life that they forget that their master is coming. Are y'all here with me? And then as he's talking about it, he says, verse 39, this is the one we're familiar with. He says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So he is leaning on the parable that when he comes, he's going to come like a thief in the night. No signs, no notices. Are y'all uncomfortable? No posts that he's coming. But when he comes, he's going to come to catch people either ready or not ready, not based on them knowing he's coming, but based on their value of life. Y'all here with me? And when Peter pulls Jesus aside, he says, Lord, are you talking to us, your disciples? Or you mean this for all people? And Jesus then gets very detailed. And in the detailed parable, he brings up four different stewards, four different servants. Y'all here with me? One servant is the servant we all want to be. That good and faithful servant. Man, I can't get no amen out of it, y'all. Cowboys, please get a touchdown or something. Verse, y'all didn't like that. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? This is about stewardship. Whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them portion of food in due season. So the picture is that the master is going away, but before the master goes away, he gives his servant authority to use his stuff, not for the servant's agenda, but for the master's agenda. Y'all, and that's stewardship 101 right there. Is that the things you have, you don't have. Oh, my goodness. We just told you. Job told you. You don't own anything. Matter of fact, David says it in a very popular psalm. He says, the earth is the Lord. Psalm 24. And the fullness thereof. The world, regardless of your pink slips or your checks, your account numbers, regardless of your deeds and regardless of all the things that you think you own, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell. He not only owns your stuff, he owns you. And so because he owns everything, the things that we think we have are not to be used for our agenda. They're to be used for the owner's agenda. And the owner is not us. The owner is God Almighty. Y'all hear with me? And so he says, when I come back, I'm looking for the good and faithful servant who used the stuff I gave him for my agenda. That's a good place where you ought to ask, is my life being used for me or is my life being used for him? Is my schedule, is my time, is my resources, is my all the things that I think belong to me? Is my by the way, all you need to do is get sick to find out that you don't even own your own health. Are y'all quiet? You can eat right. Y'all can eat right. Yeah. Y'all can eat right. Y'all can exercise. You can do all that stuff. Have a great health plan. But amen. All it takes is a couple of days to realize that the Lord has power over your getting up and getting busy. Amen. I know you got your diploma, you got your letters, you got all that stuff. But all you need to know, all you do, just go visit a couple of special homes, and you'll find out that there's a whole lot of smart people there too that woke up one day and did not know their own names. So even your mentality is not your mentality. Your intellect is not your intellect. God gave it to you. God blessed you with all that you have, but he didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to you for his agenda. All right, y'all made me fight on this, and I'm upset now. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. That's the servant we want to be. We want to be the servant that uses the things God gave us. That's what connects us to the Matthew 25 passage, that the criteria that the master is looking for is, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was sick, you came and checked on me. When I was in prison, when I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. He's looking for how you care for other people. And the reason why God gave us the things he gave us is not for us to have a great time in life, not for us to be all about getting mine, not for us to be my better self, but he gave us what he gave us for his agenda, which is to make sure that everybody is taken care of. Amen? He says, truly I say this, verse 44, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But watch it. Here's the servant you don't want to be. Verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. And that's where some of us are. Some of us have kind of forgotten that Jesus is coming back. And in the absence of that pressure that Jesus is coming back, we think life is about the next enjoyable thing. We think life is about the next exciting thing. And the world just keeps pulling us further and further away by giving us a better show, making a better album, making a better this, making a better that. Take you from one place to the next place, one vacation spot to the next vacation spot. Amen. You remember years back? Where everybody had to have a timeshare? Y'all remember that? They was like, oh, you got to get into the timeshare. And now they got companies that make money on getting rid of your timeshare. Because the world just keeps pulling us out, making us spend more. We earn more to get more, to spend more, earn more to get more, to spend more. Amen. We're spoiling and killing our children by giving them more. Our parents are giving their children less parenting and more stuff. Less. I'm not there, but here, take this. I know I missed this, but here, take this. And we think that's what life is all about. Because we forgot. We let the excitement and the pleasures of the world lead us to forget that ain't our stuff, and that's not our purpose, and that the master is coming back looking for what we did with his stuff. Y'all still not helping me here. Verse 45, but if that's something, one brother told me today, we do silent amens. And I was like, really, really? Really, I spaced out for like 30 minutes because the concept was, but if that servant says in his heart, verse 45, my master is delaying his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants. Somebody said, oh, that ain't me. Be careful. And to eat and drink and be drunk. Yeah, you and I might not beat the servants, but what this servant represents is one who has forgotten that his master is coming. And he starts thinking, she starts thinking, that the stuff the master gave him control of belongs to them. She begins to act like they own it and live a life of self-fulfillment. That's what happens when you forget that you belong to the master and you forget that that stuff ain't your stuff, it's his stuff. You start to think about what I can do with my stuff, but it's not your stuff, it's his stuff. You just forgot it because you forgot he's coming back. He says, my master is delaying his coming and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant, this is what Jesus, remember the original statement was that when I come, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. So now he picks back up on it. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in two. I thought y'all would at least shiver. Because when Jesus gets, it always makes me nervous when Jesus starts talking like that. Some folk are always talking violent, but Jesus is all like, blessed are the meek. Right? Come unto me, all ye that labor. When he starts talking about cutting people in two, it must be something serious. And guess what? It is serious that in his absence, we forget that we belong to him and that his stuff is not our stuff, and we become abusive rather than he left us the stuff to be helpful. We think it's our stuff and we become abusive. And the Lord's response to that is cut him in two. Saw them, y'all not helping me, I'll keep going. Saw them down the middle. And then take their stuff that they acted like belonged to them and give it to somebody else. It's the same as cast that servant, Matthew 25, into outer darkness. It's the same as to tell the goat to go into everlasting fire. Cut him in two is the harsh judgment of a steward that has forgotten he belongs to the master. And I don't want you to get lost. That's why we belong. We should belong to the first group. We ought to all strive to be the servant that does what the master wants, that when he comes back, he finds us being faithful. Amen? Amen. Now, this is a little, I left the last two for hard. This is hard. But the master of that servant will come, verse 47, and the servant, because here's two other servants, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. I don't know any other way to interpret this, because this is talking about an end time event. And one man, one type of servant is found faithful. Another, the second servant, is found abusive. But this third servant is a failure, but he did it. He's a failure even against the will of God, but he was not abusive like the second servant. That servant will be punished, but he'll be forgiven. As well as the fourth servant. Y'all hear with me? And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Verse 48, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. So now there's four groups. One is the servant that does the will of God. That's who I want to be with. The second is the servant who ignored the will of God and abused the servants. He's going to be cut in two. The third, he knew better but didn't do right. That sounds like a whole bunch of us.
will be beaten but forgiven. And the fourth group, he had no idea and did the same thing. He will be beaten with few stripes. Somebody says, well, how can that be heaven and hell? You know, when we all get to heaven, all of us are going to be sinners deserving to die, but yet forgiven in Christ Jesus. There'll be some guilt according to that. There'll be some fear according to that. None of us will be able to walk into the house of God like we deserve it. All of us ought to have a bit of fear and trembling, even as we are forgiven of all of our trespasses. That's the only way to look at this text. But the message for all of us is a message about stewardship. I'll give you one more thing. I'm done. One more thing. That the whole discussion starts way back in verse 1, where Jesus is teaching the disciples. Y'all go back and check it later on. And he's teaching these mass multitudes. Luke says that a great many multitudes came in to Jesus, and he starts teaching them. He starts laying down heavy doctrine. He even says, listen, they're going to persecute you, but don't fear those who can destroy the body. Rather, fear those who can destroy both body and soul. That's heavy. He's going to teach the crowd that whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Watch me. In a great teaching moment, a man stands up and interrupts his teaching and says, Master, tell my brother to give me the stuff that our father left for us. Y'all think I'm making this stuff up? This is all Luke 12. This is all the same housing that in a moment of teaching, can you imagine that? In a moment of Bible class, while Jesus is laying out some real good doctrine, somebody interrupts the class. Y'all, don't look at the folk that interrupt class right now. I said, don't look. Somebody interrupts the class and says, Master, my brother and I are having an argument about money. Will you tell him to give me my portion? And Jesus says, who am I? You know, why don't you go get an arbitrator? Go get a lawyer. Then he turns around and tells one of the hardest principles ever, that a man who God had blessed to have much had a great crop to come in. And rather than to figure out how to help people, he looked at himself and said, I'm going to tear down the barns. Y'all remember this story? This is all Luke 12. This is all the same context. That and what Jesus does is he uses that man to start talking about our greed, our avarice, our desire for more and more. And it ends up with a parable that's saying that if that's your attitude about more and more, you won't be ready when the master comes back. You and I, here's the point. You and I, as we said earlier, in knowing that Jesus is coming, we can't get caught up in the world's appetite, the world's lust. Can't get caught up in the world's spirit of more and more. We got to remember that we were not put here for our agenda. We weren't put here for our income. We weren't put here for our agenda. Don't get me wrong. I think you got to have some income. And you ought to have some enjoyment. That's just not why you were put here. You and I were put here for him. You and I have what we have, not as owners, but as managers over everything he has, that he has given us. He's the owner. We just work for him. We're the steward. And when he comes, he is looking for that faithful steward who uses what God gave him for God's holy agenda. Amen, church? Amen. And even tonight, this is a message that ought to challenge us in how we look at life itself, but certainly how we use the things that God has given us. And that ought to call all of us to more faithfulness. What's required in a steward is faithfulness. And what does faithfulness look like? It looks like we know it's not ours, and so we're going to use it not for us, but we're going to use it for the one who gave it to us. Amen, church. And at other times when we talk about God and all the things that he's given us, we'll sing about him being a provider. We'll sing about how he blesses us. We'll sing about how the windows of heaven are opened up. We always agree that God gives it to us. The question is, what does he give it to us for? He gives it to us for his agenda. So let's live our lives. Let's use our energy. Let's use our mentality. Let's use our ideas. Yeah, not for IBM, not for the companies of the world, but let's use all that God gave us for his agenda so that we be found faithful when he comes again. Amen? And if you're here tonight and you recognize that you're at a guilty distance, this is a grand time for you to make things right with the Lord. If you recognize that your life has been more about you and less about him, this is a good night to make a change, to make a shift, and to start living your life more for him, less of, isn't that what John says? I must decrease so that he might increase. That's a good challenge for all of us even tonight, so that we'll be found faithful when he comes again. And if you're here, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you become one by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing who he is, believing that he died, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, but he rose, it was buried, but he rose with all power, and you being willing to follow him as Lord, confess him to be the same, and be baptized tonight will bring you into the body of Christ where you can start living your life for his purpose. Less of self, more about him, and God will be pleased with us. Isn't that what it's all about? That we please God. Amen. And even tonight, you have an opportunity to respond as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine. I'm leaning on the everlasting.